He's good all the time. Come on now. He's good all the time. Ages 2 to 6, if you will please go with Brenda McElhaney. She has got class today. Ages 7 to 12, if you will go with Patty. They are going to be working on the Christmas in July. They're going to make each child a card, or each resident a card, and we're going to do that in July. And Michelle, wouldn't those residents love to get a card from these kids? They would. I bought some eyeballs and some sparkles and some jewels, lots of glue, lots of all of that good stuff. Colton, you need to go to class, or we're going to have one of these deacons come and escort you to the class. It's whatever you'd like to do, son. To obey is better than sacrifice. Mama Brenda's been raising me since I was a little kid just his age, and she'll take care of a person. I know that for sure. Now, I know what we've done a lot is we've stood a lot this morning, but I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. I'm going to ask you to give God what is His. It's called your praise. See, this is not a spectator sport. This is the house of the living God. And let me tell you something. This building isn't the church, but you are the church. And I want to tell you something. I'm going to tell it like it is this morning. And I need y'all to begin to agree in prayer, because here's what's going on. There was a lot of things about the corona that brought about some good change. But Michelle, it wasn't all good change. You see these seats empty? That ain't what God wants. There's people that they're afraid to come out. They're afraid to come to God's house. The devil's going to get them, and he's going to get them off track. Okay, we need to begin to pray. There were two different families in here this morning that they walked out of the church because of a problem that arose. See, the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He'll get you out of church in any way that he can. Now, I tell you what I see coming, and it's the devil's trying to get people not to even come to church, not to live that life, not to put God first. So I'm going to tell you what, we ain't having it. We ain't having it. Amen. For every seat that's empty, the devil's done snatched somebody, and I'm praying them back right now. That's what we're going to do. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over every mind right here in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you, Lord. God, I say right now in Jesus' name, God, I'm calling that core family back. God, I tell you that the devil can't have them. God, I thank you that you're drawing them right now in Jesus' name. God, I thank you, God, for every person, Lord, that's supposed to be in your house. God, that the devil has taken them out. Lord, I thank you right now, God, and I call them back. And, Lord, I claim their life for you. God, I claim them for your glory. God, I thank you right now, Lord, you know each person. God, if they came up in here in your house in pain, God, I thank you, Lord, that you've healed that ailment right now in Jesus' name. Lord, for every household, God, where they need a financial blessing, God, I ask right now, God, that you would create that for them. God, supernaturally, God, abundantly, God, without limitation. God, I speak peace right now in Jesus' name. God, where there's been an unrest, I call the spirit of peace right now in Jesus' name. God, I thank you that every addiction is broken. Lord God, you told me to ask for Logan County, and God, I claim Logan County right now in Jesus' name. God, we give you praise. God, we give you glory. God, I thank you, God. And Lord, I ask that you would stir every heart. God, for every family, Lord, that they're supposed to be in this church. God, they were in this church, and Lord, they're walking in fear, or God, they're just simply not putting you first. God, I ask that you'd stir them, and I ask that you'd bring them back, God, in Jesus' name, amen. God is good. And as I said, I can see very clearly what the devil is trying to do. And you know what? I will not bow down to a coronavirus. Just as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they would not bow down. We will not bow down to that. We will do everything that we can. But at the end of the day, there's a day coming that every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that He's Lord. And we confess that He's Lord right now with the way that we live our life. The way that we live our life, we're either saying He is the King of Kings, or we're saying no. See, it's not just a Sunday and a Wednesday thing. This is an everyday of your life thing. And as I got together with the Lord last night, you know, God's really done a number on me. I was never an outside person, and I was never an animal person, okay? I never liked either one of those things. And something about having kids, getting all, whatever you call it, I don't know, mature, I don't know what you call it. I got two crawdads, two pet crawdads, a pet turtle, and a pet chihuahua. And I got two kids, and this year I have slowly but surely become an outside person. And my husband got me some pretty little lights to go around our little gazebo thing in the backyard. And when I want to get alone, that's where I go. I turn them lights on and I say, Lord, just begin to speak to me. Just begin to speak to me. And I want to tell you this morning that, you know, Jeremy and I are so different, but if we were the same, we would kill each other. That's just how that goes. If we were the same, we'd probably kill each other. I've had it said, Aunt Sharon, that Pastor Kelly, she preaches, and she'll bang it in there, and she'll get right up in your face. I'm going to not sit in y'all's lap today because I'm trying to respect the corona. But let me tell you something. It's my job to get you up in here, get you fired up. I'm going to chisel away at some bad habits. I'm going to chisel away at the hard places in your heart. Why? Because, see, I'm going to get you ready to receive what God's got for you. Pastor Jeremy, he's one of the best teachers that I know. He's a very good teacher. He's a very good pastor. He's excellent. But today, I'm going to preach it loud, and I'm going to preach it proud. Y'all just get ready. Because, see, we're not living in days where it's time to shrink back. We're living in days that it's time to step up. It's time to step up. See, for every outside service that we had, Angel, God was getting some glory, but there were some things that the devil was doing. The devil was getting people out of the practice of praising God. And I would see it week after week. There'd be people and they'd be sitting. Because why? Because of the coronavirus. Let me tell you something. You back up in the church building, I'm going to say, you know what? Praise him. Praise him. Praise the living God. Why? Because he's worthy of every praise you could ever give him. How do we talk to God? How do we enter into his gates? With praise. With praise. I was shopping with my mother yesterday, and I love shopping with Mama. Yes, this is a new outfit. Y'all don't be jealous. I got it at Kato's, just in case you want one. You go down there and get you one. They won't let you try nothing on. So, you know, it's going to fit one way or another. We're going to make it fit. And as I was driving home with Mom, the Lord just began to speak to my heart. He said, Kelly, we need to get to telling my kids that they need to have a willing heart. We need more willing hearts. There's places. Let's take a vote. Humor me. Can I just tell it like it is this morning? Let's just have some church. Let's not pretend to church. Let's have some church. There's people, there's even your pastor. At times, Deborah, I'm unwilling to do what God told me to do. There are times in your life where God has clearly told you which way to go, and you're not going that way. If you're listening to me on Facebook right now, God's been telling you places and things that you should do, and you ain't listening. And because of that, you're suffering. Because of that, you're suffering. I made a little joke. Well, to obey is better than sacrifice. Let me tell you something. That goes for the adults, too. If you can't obey him, there's going to be a sacrifice. If you can't obey him, there's going to be some misery. If you can't obey him, there's going to be some depression. Why? Because you're at your best self when you're doing what he wants you to do. Let me tell you something. God's asked me to do some things, Angel. They made me absolutely miserable. I did them. I sucked it up. Guess what? Now I'm happy about it. The rightest thing isn't always the easiest thing. It's probably going to be the hardest thing. Why? You know how many times as a pastor, as a wife, as a mother, as just a child of God where I felt like I was standing on my tippy toes just to do and be the person that I was supposed to be and do. Look here. I'm not telling you this is easy, but I'm telling you what God wants. He wants a willing heart. Let's go to Psalms chapter 51 this morning. We're going to start at verse 10. And it says here, create in me a pure heart. Why are we saying create? Because it ain't there just on its own. It's not there just on its own. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew. What does renew mean? It was once there and now it's not. And renew a steadfast spirit within me. See, there's times where we're slipping up and we need to stop and we need to say, God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over my own self. And God, I ask right now that you would put me in the right attitude to do your will today, because I'm feeling like I'm going to pull some stuff. God, put me in the right spirit to do what you've asked me to do. God, where I want to be rebellious. God, where I want to kick up my heels. God, in the places of my life where I'm not putting you first. God, I ask you right now, God, to turn my heart and to create in me, God, a right spirit. Give me a pure heart. We don't just wake up and have pure hearts. Why? Because like I said last week, you can't even watch a hamburger commercial without seeing a half-naked woman. That's why you have trouble having a pure heart. Because everywhere you go, the devil's trying to put stuff into you. That's just how it is. We got to shake that off. We got to shake it off. Now, that baby's not bothering me because I'm 20 million times louder than that baby. So it says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence. Or take your Holy Spirit from me. And you know what? So many people, they make the dumb decision and they think, well, God's just left me. Let me tell you something. God's never left you. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. If you feeling like somebody left, it was you. Cindy said to me a couple, two or three weeks ago, she said, boy, when I tell them to come to my church, I tell them, this is the best church, but now don't come if you want to be offended. Because that our pastor, that woman pastor, she's going to offend you. Somebody said, well, I didn't know if I wanted to be offended. Well, look here. In the last days, they're going to be saying, prophesy to me smooth words. Smooth words. Things I want to hear. Don't tell me nothing I don't want to hear. Well, we ain't here to tickle your fancy. My fancy ain't tickled, and I'm not going to tickle yours. We're just going to tell it like it is. God wants a willing heart from his children. He wants a willing heart from his children. You see all these empty seats? Let me tell you something. Before the coronavirus, you couldn't find a place to sit down in here on a Sunday morning. For every person that will not put God first, if they walk in fear, that's another thing. We pray that fear off of them. But I pray that for every person that they just not putting God first, I've been praying, Diana, God, to deal with my sheep. God, to deal with them. God, to make them put them first. God, draw them in. Lord, I ask right now that you would create situations, that you would allow situations. God, I ask right now that you'd put them back in a right standing with who you are. Why? Because this is the last day. We don't have time to be taking vacations away from the living God. Why do I preach so strong? Because I want to say something that's going to get you to stop your ways. Stop it. Turn. Go back on the right way. So don't cast your presence, me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Look here, God, don't do that. If you ain't in God's presence, it's because you left. You left. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and God, grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. The willing spirit is going to be the thing that keeps you going. The willing spirit is going to be the thing that sustains who you are. The willing spirit is going to be the thing that keeps your family going. The willing spirit, see, is going to be the thing that keeps your marriage going when it's trying to be killed off like everybody else's. The willing spirit is going to be the thing inside of you that says, don't go there, it's going to be harm for you. The willing spirit is the thing that says, buy this house, that's where I want to bless you. See? A lot of us are unwilling, and it costs us time, it costs us money, it costs us years, it costs us our kids' childhood. See, we got to be willing to just do what God wants us to do. Why? Because we're going to be happier. I hear so much people say, Pastor Kelly, it's me again, and I'm just not happy. Baby, that happiness that you're talking about, it don't exist. There's something that does exist, and it's called joy. Joy in the middle of a trial, joy in the middle of the mountaintop, joy in the middle of a struggle, joy in the middle when everything's going good. See, all this I'm not happy business, when you start saying that, that's a good time to say, God created me a clean heart. God, my heart's looking junked up because, see, I'm putting too much stock in another person. I'm putting too much stock in this job. Now, I asked you, God, for that job. You gave it to me. Now I'm complaining about it all the time. See, we got to let our yes be yes and our no be no. We're very fickle people. We flip-flop constantly. And then when our flip-flop causes us to flip up and we get messed up, then we say, Pastor Kelly, my life is jacked up. I don't know how I got that way. Well, one day at a time. It'll either get worse one day at a time or it'll get better one day at a time. That's what I've learned. So it says, restore to me the joy of your salvation. See, your joy is coming from the one true God. It can't come from anything else. Nobody can make you complete. Am I saying that you can't be happy in your marriage? No, I'm saying I want you to try to be. But don't put that pressure on another person. They can never live up to that. You're not made whole by that job. You're made whole by Jesus. When that job lets you down, when that spouse lets you down, when your children let you down, and they will, and they won't do it on purpose, you need to not lose your stuff. Not your material stuff, your mental stuff. Okay? I hear all the time, I'm going to give them peace of my mind, and I'm sitting here going, oh, God, Jeremy, they said they were going to give them a piece of their mind. They ain't got many pieces left. Sister Buckethead needs to keep that peace. God, please don't be giving them a piece of your mind. You need all them pieces that you can gather up. You need those. Don't be giving them out. You need them, okay? So restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. You want to be whole? You want to thrive? You want to be a steadfast person? Ask God to give you a willing spirit. Why? Because it's the hardest thing to get. You think, oh, I'll do whatever God wants to do with me. We'll do it. Well, till he tells you to do something you don't want to do, till he tells you to do something that's going to cause you to sacrifice, till he tells you to do something that, ooh, well, I'm not that kind of person. I can't just forgive them. I don't like them. Well, that's the thing that's holding you up. How can I preach about these things? Because I've lived them. I continue to live them. There's things right now that are held up, Aunt Sharon, in my life because I'm praying that God give me the gumption to just do the right thing on some things. Every time I get my mind made up, the devil says, but what did they do to you? How can I preach these things? Because I live them. A lot of pastors, they're going to make you feel like you're so far beneath them, you could never be as righteous as they are. Look here, I don't operate that way. I just tell you what's up. I just tell you what kind of problems I have. Why? Because I want you to know that you're not alone in that. I want you to know that we all just people. I'm just the dumbbell that God said, you lead them. You and Jeremy, you and that handsome feller, y'all two do this. I said, well, God, you have a sense of humor, but I'll do it. God, you know I got problems. God, take somebody been in the ministry their whole life and make them do some more ministry. Well, here we are. Amen. God, give me a willing spirit. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17. And we're talking about Isaiah here. Isaiah began to have a vision. God began to show him a vision. And you know what? All throughout time, people, God would tell people to do things and they would have an excuse. Moses said, well, I stutter. I can't speak well. You know, I can't do that. I mean, I respect what you're saying, God, but see, you've called me to do something that I'm just not good at. Jeremiah, young kid, God said, today I've called you as a prophet. Jeremiah goes, not me, God. Nope. I'm just a kid. And God corrected him and he said, don't say you're just a child anymore, because today, and he reached down and he touched his lips and he said, today I've put my words in your mouth. There's too many words coming out of our mouth that God did not ordain. There's too many words coming out of our mouth that God never placed there. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If God can reach down and he can touch a young boy's mouth and he can say, today I put my words in your mouth, you know what you can do? You can put your hands on your mouth and you can say, God, in Jesus' name, I declare it today. God, I'm going to have your words in my mouth in Jesus' name. God, when I don't have it for that person, when I want to be ugly, when I want to be judgmental, when I want to just act out, God, I thank you that you put those words in my mouth. And God, the words that are in my mouth that you didn't put there, God, I ask that you would just take them plumb smooth out. Why? Because you're going to be happier when you're not saying a bunch of foolish stuff. You ever said something and you wish you wouldn't have, and then you had to try to go to bed that night? Ugh. One time me and old Pastor Jared, we got in a knockdown dragout. Do the pastors get in a knockdown dragout? Well, yes, they do. Just like the rest of y'all that's married. Get ready, Michelle. They're getting married. Every couple has little tiffs. That's just how it is. Well, you get me in a bad moment where I need a nap, I'm not even responsible hardly for what I'll say. I don't even know. I don't even remember what we was arguing about. I don't even remember what I said. I just know it was terrible. I marched my fanny upstairs. And I felt real justified. And I pulled them sheets. God, you said you would give your beloved some rest. Now, what's the problem? Well, Kelly, that husband that you asked me for, you being mean to him. I said, well, God, I'll apologize to him tomorrow. He's all the way downstairs. That's 14 steps down and 14 steps up. Well, he wasn't going to let me go to bed without doing that. You know what that taught me? Don't pick fights with Pastor Jared when you don't want to go 14 stairs up and 14 stairs down. We save all that argument for the broad daylight. Because what did I have to do just to get a little bit of rest? Well, I had to march my fat fanny back down the stairs. Then I had to do one step further. Be humble. Then I had to take it another step further, which I don't like. And I had to say two words that don't want to come up out of your mouth when you're trying to feel right. I'm sorry. I was wrong. I acted out. Do you forgive me? Please forgive me so I can go to bed. Because you know I'm tired and that's why I acted out to begin with. See, God give me a willing heart. You got to have that stuff right up in your own house. Give me a willing heart to be good to the people around me. Give me, God, a willing heart to be good to my husband, to be good to my wife, to be good to my children. Practice on them first. You know what? God's been having me practice some things for a long time. You know what they are? I'm practicing to see my enemy up in the store because I know that time clock is ticking. And I know at some point I'm going to run into them. God's going to let me run into them. And he wants me to apologize. I'm certain of it. And I need to. So what am I doing? Well, no, I love, the one thing I love about the mouth situation is nobody can see what facial expressions you have. And my silly self is still smiling. I'm doing my buggy up in Walmart. And before the coronavirus hit, I was just practicing on smiling and greeting people that I don't know. So when my enemy comes, I've got all that smiling practice, and I can keep smiling, and I can just be humble like I ought to be and just say, you know what, I was wrong. I was just straight up wrong, and I'm sorry. Not only am I sorry, but I'm going to ask you to forgive me. See, you know how long it's taken me to get to this point to just be willing to do that? About 2 or 3 years. Why? Because I've been on that little roller coaster with the devil. Well, you don't know what they did this to me. Yes, they did, devil. They sure did. They said that to you, too. Yes, they sure did. They looked at you this way. They caused you misery for this many years. Yes, they did. So here's Isaiah, and he's been shown a vision. And he says, it says here, stop doing wrong. Stop doing wrong. You mean there's really a place in the Bible that says stop doing wrong? Yes, there is. That's called a blanket verse. Everything that you're doing that's wrong, this verse covers it. Stop doing wrong. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do what's right. Learn to do what's right. Seek justice, encourage the oppressed, defend the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Who's us? You? God? The Holy Spirit? Jesus? He's saying, you, come over here. Let's reason together. Let's talk this out. Let's talk about your life. Because, see, I don't want you to be busted and disgusted and can't be trusted and sad and not having enough. Come here. Let's talk this out. You know how many talks I've had to have with God? Lots of them. He's saying, come, let us reason. Let us reason together. Let's come together, child of God, and let's talk about what's going on in your life so we can get it right. Let's reason together. Stop doing wrong. Let's learn to do some right. Let's talk this out. And it says here, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. See, so many people, they don't want to talk to God because God's been misrepresented to them. He's been made out to be some big, mean God that wants to whack us over the head. God is not that person. God's the one where if everybody's saying that person deserves that, they deserve this, they deserve that. God's saying they deserve the cross. They deserve what I gave them. They deserve mercy just like everybody else. They deserve grace just like everybody else. See, God's that person. He's not the person dishing out all the mean talk. Now, we save that for people, the judgmental folks up in the churches. That got no jokes. Now, come on. We know sometimes we've been judgmental. No amens. Now, come on. We know it. We know it. We own it. We stop it. And it says, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, that's what God wants. Sometimes you sit there and you think, what does God want from me? He wants you to be willing and he wants you to be obedient. God wants you to be willing and he wants you to be obedient. Why does he pinpoint those things? Because those are the hardest things to do, to be willing. Be willing. A lot of us say, well, I am willing. Well, great. Let's see a picture of that willingness when he tells you to do something that you don't want to do. Why? Because he's going to. We don't just naturally wake up and want to do everything God tells us to do. Why? Because he's going to call us to do some things that's way out of our comfort zone. In the beginning of, in December of 2019, I've always wanted to play the piano. I'm really not a musical ability type of person. If I can get in here and not stand by a kid and clap on beat, that's about all the musical ability that I have. And I said, God, I would really like to play the piano. He said, well, I want you to. So we get in there. My piano teacher's about 1,000. And I climb up at the Catholic church, the very highest part of the Catholic church. It's two-story. I climb up these little stairs. They're about this narrow. I don't know what they were thinking. Maybe that denomination was skinnier when they built that church. I don't know. But that's totally, that would not fly up in Parish Christian Center. Man, that little way up in there, it's about this wide, Michelle. And I'm like, boy, that Corona 5 pounds has really done a number. I ain't even fitting up the stairs. I get up there and I start clanking around. And she goes, keep in mind, she's older. And she goes, no. Start again. No. And at first, that kind of offended me. I thought, I'm paying you. You could at least say no nicely. And I felt my offender feelers getting offended. And I thought, I'm going to quit. I like the way she talks to me. I like the way she told me no. God said, Kelly, you need to stop. Because I've put her in your life for a season. I'm going to allow that woman to pull some things out of you that they're there. They just need to be pulled out. They just need to be pulled out. Angel, there's been so many times where she said, no, start again. And I would say, Miss Monday, can't you just let me slide on this one? Can't you just let me fumble through it and then you tell me, no. She goes, when we started, you told me we were doing this for the glory of God. And we are. And you will play the piano. And you will do it flawlessly. When you do it, people are going to be saved. And she, let me tell you something. Them sweet little old Catholic ladies, they'll know how to pull some greatness up out of you. She said, you're going to start playing the piano, Kelly, in your church. When people hear it, the anointing is going to fall. We're doing this for the glory of God. So, nah, you start again. You know what that's done in me every time that I get discouraged now? Michelle, I say, God, I'm going to just start again because I'm doing this for your glory. God, if you're not getting any glory out of this, I'm going to start again and I'm going to do it again until you get glory. Amen. Why? Because that's more important than my opinion of some matters. We get our opinions. We get too opinionated. We get too judgmental. What we need to do is come to ourselves and say, God, help me to have a willing heart. God, help me to just do the thing that I know you want me to do. And it says, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land. But if you resist and rebel, see, you got to be willing and obedient. What are you going to be if you're not willing and obedient? You're probably going to be resisting and you're probably going to be rebelling. You will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. See, when you won't be willing to change some things about that situation and you still coming up and you still saying, God, why didn't you fix that? Well, because you were unwilling to do what he said to do to fix it. Now that whole thing is eating you up. Eating you up in ulcers, eating you up in anxiety, eating you up in stress, eating you up in worry, eating you up in fear. I said, God, what do you want me to do about these people? They ain't coming to church. He said, Kelly, don't worry about it. It's going to start eating them up. They need me more than what they realize. Amen. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 through 8. Here's Isaiah and here's his vision. And it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips. Here's Isaiah, and he's going, now look here. I ain't worried that he be seeing this vision. I'm beneath this, because I got some sin. I got some unclean lips. Well, and I live among people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. And then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And with it he touched my mouth and said, See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. You know how many people has tried to pull that with God? Lord, I can't do it because I'm unqualified. Lord, I can't do it because I did a lot of things that I'm very ashamed of. Lord, I'm just a kid. I can't speak. I can't be a prophet. Moses, I can't do that because I don't know how to speak. I stutter a lot. I've got a stuttering problem, God. Why would you call a stutterer to be the mouthpiece for you? Well, here's this guy, same thing. Now, hold on. I can't be having this vision. I got unclean lips. I got sin. I got all sorts of stuff. God's not interested in all your disqualifications. I've tried that. It don't work. God doesn't call you because you're equipped. He'll call you and then he'll equip you. He'll equip you. You don't got to worry with what you can and can't do. It's not about you. It's really not. It's that he created you for a purpose. And what he needs out of you is just a willing heart to say, I'll do it. I'll do it. And it says here, with it he touched my mouth and said, See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. You ever notice how your sin just makes you feel guilt? You ever realize how much the devil uses guilt to get you off track? Feel guilty about this. Feel guilty about that. Feel guilty that you did this and feel guilty that you did that. Guilt, guilt, guilt. Look here. God doesn't use guilt. If you got guilt, that's not from God. You need to say, God, take the guilt away because it's not from you. God, I release it and I lift it up to you. I'm getting rid of it. And he said, and then I heard the voice of the Lord saying. See, there's people, they've heard the voice of God. They've heard him say, do this with your life. Make this decision. You buy this car. You buy this house. You marry this person. You go to church here. You do this. You do that. See, God speaks to his kids. He instructs his children. He's not going to just be like, okay, it's a free-for-all. Do what you want. And we're all going, this is what we do. I do what I want. Jeremy, every once in a while, he'll start really telling me all this stuff to do. And I say, dear, I do what I want. What do you want me to do, honey? And then when that trash is sat there for a couple days, I say, dear, I know you're doing what you want, but that trash, that one right there, that needs to be taken out. That ain't my job. Why? Well, for reasons I won't say. So it says here, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Who's going to go for us? Here's God, and he's saying, who shall we send? Who will go for us? In this modern day, we're all looking around and we're going, they will. They'll do it. Seeing God's looking right at you and he's saying, now who's going to go for us? Who can we send? And I said, here am I, send me. And then he said, go and tell this to the people. See, while we're in our lives, and sometimes, Debbie, our lives get so messed up. Sometimes everything's going right and on a dime, then everything's going wrong. Sometimes we're all happy and we're all going about. The church has grown. All this good stuff has happened. Then the coronavirus comes. Let me tell you something. God is God. God is God. They'll be back. When God's saying to you, I want you to do this, you'd be better off if you just have that willing heart and if you just say, God, send me. God, I'll go. God, I'll do it. Why? Because what happens when you won't? It's been my experience. We see it in the Bible. We're just saying, God, I'm just not going to do that. Well, here we are, and we're saying no. We take another trip around Mount Sinai, and we come to that place again. May took 5 years, may took 3 years, maybe 6 months. One more day out of God's will for your life is too long. If it's 30 minutes, it's too long. We come to that place again. God's saying, I want you to do this. I want you to not do that. Sometimes it's not always I want you to do. Sometimes it's like, I want you to stop doing that. I want you to stop doing that thing. I'm going to encourage you to be willing. See, God is not some big fat bully. He does not push himself on people. We have to wake up and we choose him. He can't make you serve him. He can't make you do certain things. Why? Because we have something and it's called a free will. We have free will. God says on this earth, you're going to do what you want to do. Now choose this day what you're going to live with. Are you going to live with a curse or are you going to live with a blessing? Are you going to take life or are you going to take death? See, there's a choice to be made. Everybody's like, man, I chose him when I was 7. Look here, I did too. And I have to wake up and myself has to choose him every day. Why? Because every day there the devil is trying to get me off. See, God's wanting some people to become more willing. Why? Because he wants to bring you past where you've always had a slip up, where there's always been a problem. Brother Larry, there's people in the world and they keep coming back to the same thing. Why? Because they keep not picking right. They keep not being willing to turn a page. And then you keep being miserable. You ever been so miserable and you thought, man, I did this to myself. When I get the chance to do this differently, I'm going to do it different. Because I did this to me. Not my mama, not my daddy, not my husband. No, I did this to me, and I'm going to change this right now. And he said, God, here I am. Send me. Send me. What did God do? God sent him. God sent him to deliver the word, to deliver what God said would happen. See, God wants a willing heart, because this life that we live, it is not just all about us and our family, our four and no more. It goes beyond that. The only thing you can take to heaven is souls. You can't take your dog. You can't take your turtle. And you can't take your crawdads. And I love my crawdads. That little girl back there, she's got a snake. She loves that snake. You keep that snake over at your house. Okay? She took it to church one day, and I was thinking, all the visitors are going to think we're in that really strange place that deals with them snakes. I started getting worried. I was thinking, that's going to be one more thing that people say, oh, that's that church. Them ones, they get them snakes out. They do all that creepy stuff. I thought, well, that just go along with everything else. Oh, well. Next place for me. Let me get here. Is Isaiah. Actually, the last place for me is Matthew chapter 26. Why are we talking about having a willing heart? Because you know what? I started preaching this at the end of 2019. Me and Jeremy, you want to know what your pastors do? Angel, we get up in a king-size bed. We just laugh. Because at this point, that's about all we can do. We just get up in that bed. We just laugh. Jeremy said the other day, I've heard so many 2020 visions. Vision's going to be perfect at 2020. I saw on Facebook the other day, the corona, the flood, there was a couple other things. And somebody said, I don't know whether to get a generator, a shotgun, or a mask. I'm in that boat. I've just learned, look here, God, I don't pretend to know. You just show me as I need to know, because I did not predict this corona. I just sit up in bed and laugh about it now. I'm like, God, you just have your way, whatever it is. You want a church outside? Let's have some church outside. You going to let them dogs fight in the parking lot? Let the dogs fight in the parking lot. You going to let them old men and their little motor scooters come up and disrupt the service? Let them come on. Get them saved. You want the neighbors outside on the patio listening because they ain't never been to church? Okay, raise that sound up, Jesus. Because this is all about you anyway. About 6 months before we had outside church, God began to show me preaching outside. I said, God, I'll never do that. I'm just letting you know. That ain't happening. You know me, God. I ain't an outside girl. I started seeing myself making meals in my own home, and I thought, who am I making those for? I began to see 6 months before all this stuff happened, Gina, God began to show it to me. One day I was making meals up for the seniors at Senior Citizen Area in the area agency, and God spoke to my heart. He said, Kelly, learn how to see what I'm bringing about. I began to show you these things. Learn how to see what I'm trying to show you before it gets here. It's going to help you. Because here I'm telling God, no. Uh-uh. No. Not doing it. Well, we did it. We did it. Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. For all you people that I've made you nervous walking around. Look here, we're going to bring some normalcy back. Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. You know, we're supposed to imitate Christ. We're supposed to do things that he did. He said, the things that you've seen me do, you're going to do those things, but you'll do them greater. Because, see, I'm going to my Father, and when I go, you're going to be able to do things. Whatever you've seen me do, you'll be able to do them better. You'll be able to do them greater because I'm going to the one that made it all. So it says here, then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. For some people, God's saying, you sit in this place. Don't you move. You ever told your kids that? Sit here and don't move. There's people, you know that you're on the verge of a decision. God's saying, sit there till I tell you the move to make. People get nervous. Oh, I haven't heard God say something. I'm going to help God out. No, don't do that. Just sit there. And he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. And he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Now this is Jesus, and this is what he's saying. I'm very overwhelmed right now with sorrow, and I need you to stay, and I need you to pray. I need you to keep watch. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground, and he prayed. See, there's some things they only coming out with prayer, with fasting, with getting on your knees, with getting on your face, with telling God, God, I'm sorry. God, I messed up. God, I went against your will, and my life is messed up now. See? Some of us, we like, God knows I'm sorry. Yes, he does, baby. You get on your face and you begin to tell God, God, I'm going to be different. God, help me to be different. And he said he got on his face to the ground and he began to pray. My Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will. See? Take note. Even Jesus Christ had a will. At any point in time, he could have been like, these people ain't worth it. But he knew what he was created for. He knew what he was made to do on this earth. He knew why he became flesh and dwelt among us. He knew that was the destiny. That's why he didn't throw in the towel when he met us. You're thinking, them? I'm doing this for them? No, he wasn't like that. He's saying, I love them. I love them so much. God the Father, is this what I came here for? I'm doing it. Did he have his moment where he said, now if this cup can pass, let it pass? Yes, he did. There's things that God will call you to do. They're going to be very hard. You're going to have some sleepless nights. You're going to have your days where you cry and you tell God, God, I don't want to do that. Do it anyways. Do it anyways. And I got a nugget for you. The joy will come just out of doing what he told you to do. Just out of doing what he told you to do. And he said, not as I will, but as you will. Then he returned to his disciples and he found them sleeping and he said, could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour? See, they couldn't even do what he asked for 1 hour. That's us sometimes. That's people sometimes. God's saying, I want you to act right and I want you to do this and I want you to do that. For the first 5 minutes, we're like, oh yeah, I'm doing it. 10 minutes later, we're like, yeah, God, you tell somebody else to do that. I'm not doing that. No. That looks uncomfortable. That looks like I'm going to have to be out of my comfort zone to do that. I don't want to do that. And he says, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Your flesh is weak. See, I get it. God will tell you to do something. Your spirit man, it wants to do the thing that God wants you to do. That flesh part of you that we feed more than we feed the spirit part, it's going. We ain't doing that. No. When we see Sally Sue, we're like, no, she's getting a piece of my mind. Next time you do that or you come with that opportunity, you remember something. You need that piece. Keep it. Don't give them a piece of your mind. You need that. The spirit is willing and the body is weak. He went away a second time and he prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. May your will be done. May your will be done." See, we say certain things are so easy to say, "God, I just want your will." Well, okay, here it is. It's time to do the will of God. It's time to do it. "May your will be done." And when he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more, and he prayed in the third time, saying the same thing. And then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting?" See, are you still doing it your way? Are you still saying, "God, I want your will," and then he shows you his will, and you're saying, "No, I don't want to do it that way. I'll do it, but I don't want to do it that way." If you don't do it his way, you didn't do it at all. It don't count. You got to do it his way. That's the only way you're going to get his result. It's the only way. You want his best, you give him your best. What is your best? Your will. Your will. He can't take it from you. You have to give it. God doesn't take your will. He doesn't say, "Well, you told me no, but I'm making you do it." No. It's not how it works. We wake up each day. We just say, "God, today's your day. Have your will." See, here's Jesus. Angel, he had to pray three times. Three times. He had to pray it through three times. "God, if there's any way possible, take this cup from me." Look here. There was no other way. There was no other way. There are things in your life God will tell you to do them, and he'll tell you how to do them. There's people God's already told you. He's already showed you. You're on the fence. You're just having trouble putting your other foot over the fence. I'm going to tell you, get your foot over the fence. Tell God, "God, your will be done. Your will be done." Remember what we talked about today. Remember that Jesus said, "Is there any other way?" Look here. There wasn't. That was it. The people that were supposed to be with him, praying, interceding, helping him, they fell asleep. Why? Because their eyes got heavy. Don't be like them. Do what Jesus asked you to do. Do what God asks you to do. Then he returned to the disciples and he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near, and the Son of Man is betrayed and into the hand of sinners." Sharon, he knew the whole time. He knew the whole time the end result. And he did it. And not only did he do it, but he did it willingly. He said, "Nobody takes my life. I lay it down. Nobody takes my life." See, when they were deciding what they were going to do with him, Were they going to crucify him? Were they going to let him go? He said, nobody takes my life. I lay it down. When he hung on the cross, he said, Father, into your hands I commit myself. I commit myself. What does that mean? God, I give you myself. You know how powerful that is for us to wake up and say, God, today I give you me. I give you my will. I give you my life. Whatever your will is, I'll do it. Why are we talking about this morning? Because I have no doubt people's having trouble just committing themselves to the Lord. Saying, God, it's your will. God, I'm going to go with what you've told me to do. See, how do you end a service like this? Here's how I'm ending it. I believe that the Word of God, it's fallen exactly where it should fall. I'm not going to ask people to stand tonight, today, because you know what? If I did, everybody would stand, because everybody wants to do God's will. This has pricked some people right in the middle of who you are, right up in the middle of your soul, right up in the very middle of that decision, right in the very middle of that thing. And I'm just going to simply pray, God, in Jesus' name, for every person, Father God, that is under the sound of my voice, God, in any way, God, I ask right now that they would turn over their will right now. God, I ask that you'd give them the courage. God, I ask that you'd help them to trust you. And Lord, I thank you, God, right now in Jesus' name. God, I speak forth breakthrough. God, as they do what you've said to do, God, as they do it the way that you said to do it, God, I thank you that they see breakthrough in Jesus' name. God, I thank you that in the areas of their life where they need some relief because there's been so much pressure built up because they've had an issue turning their will over, God, I thank you for the relief in Jesus' name. Will you stand to your feet? Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I speak a blessing over your children today. God, I ask that you bless them and keep them. Lord, I ask right now that you'd make your face shine upon them. God, I thank you for all the health that they need. God, all the grace that they need. You said that your grace is sufficient. God, it is. Lord, and we thank you for it. I thank you for mercy right now. God, I thank you for promotion, God, because it only comes from you. Lord, we commit ourselves to you right now. And we thank you for all that you've done, God, for us. In Jesus' name, amen.